Good morning and welcome to chapel. This morning we gather for a day of remembrance to honor and commemorate the 50th year since the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was killed on April 4th, 1968 at the Lorraine Motel, which is now the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, Tennessee. We mourn the untimely death of a man, though not perfect by his own account, but in spite of his shortcomings, he gave us, the world, the roadmap to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Micah 6 and 8. At this time, we will have our prayer. And I don't see Mr. Jews, so I will pray. If we could bow our heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you this morning, Lord, just thanking you for your mercy, thanking you for your grace, thanking you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. And we thank you for the life of Martin Luther King Jr., Lord. Though it was a short 39 years, Lord, he touched a country, Lord, and impacted a country, Lord, and just asked a country to do justice and to do what was right and to do what was supposed to happen, Lord. He just asked for humanity for all people, Lord. And we thank him for his sacrifice. We thank his family for their sacrifice, Lord, and for the continued sacrifices of those, Lord, who continue to be in the margins despite all of the work that he did, Lord. We thank you for him. We thank you for his insight. We thank you for his wisdom. We thank you for his steadfast, just staying on the wall, Lord, throughout the movement, Lord. And we thank you for those who continue in the movement in whatever ways they may be, Lord. They may not look like the way that he moved the world, but we thank you for all those who are still standing in the gap, Lord, to help those who are in the margins. We ask that you bless this chapel and bless everyone gathered here, Lord, and those who, for whatever reason, may not be able to be here or aren't here. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, we will have a selection by Ernest and Bruce. Following that, we will have the introduction of our reflectors this morning. Amen, and we'll be following the program as printed.
Well, can we all just worship today? And feel free to just stand with me, because how many of you know that God has made a way for you this morning? To be in this very moment, how many of you know that God has made a way this morning? It says, standing here, not knowing how to get through this test. You've got this in control, and now you know that
Everyone. Today I will be introducing the program and the speakers. So 3 years ago, the Multicultural Student Services, the Black Student Union, Campus Ministries, and YServe set a goal of creating and implementing a learning tour to educate students about the Civil Rights Movement. And this spring break, we completed our third annual trip. We took time to reflect upon how the Civil Rights Movement is still relevant today. We had the opportunity to visit numerous locations where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. marched, which was in Selma, Alabama. He preached at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church and was educated in Atlanta, and he also sought refuge. This morning, you will hear reflections from Maya Dula and Caleb Shruckhurst, who spent their spring break walking in the same spaces as the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the foot soldiers of the Civil Rights Movement.
We were standing on Martin Luther King Jr.'s porch in Montgomery as our tour guide told us the story of the bombing that happened right under our feet. The attack occurred as the bus boycott and King's leadership grew more and more successful. The bus companies were losing a ton of money due to half of their customers walking instead of riding. Those who objected to the success of this boycott bombed his house one night as his wife and children were in the house and King was away preaching. King comes home to his family and an angry group of his supporters outside. Even in all of this pain, Martin Luther King Jr. asks the crowd not to react with violence. He sends them home and they go. I don't understand how a person can have such power over a group of people, yet be so rooted in love. To think of the care and patience one must have to command a radical, successful movement, so countercultural, so Christ-like. Genuine care and passion rooted in faith was at the heart of this movement, something I hadn't given enough thought or understanding to before. We attended 16th Street Baptist Church, which was bombed by racist segregationists killing children during the 60s. For this little Mennonite girl, the Baptist preaching was something new. I told my family I felt like my soul was preached out of my body and thrown up to the heavens. I also felt uncomfortable to see this great display of faith as we stood in a church that endured such hate. Yet I can feel the complacency and disregard for God in my privileged and relatively easy life. I feel so honored to have been given this opportunity and challenged to deepen my faith to the extent that allows me to respond with love instead of hate. We are clearly still struggling with racism in this country, both blatant and not, and I always feel overwhelmed by its complexity. There is layer after layer of disadvantage and prejudice and ingrained oppression that makes up the story of racism in this country. However, I can only think about the places where I exist, and right now it's EMU. This trip made me ask, how can I add to the listening and humility on this campus? I dream of administration and us students. I dream of a campus being a place of equitable opportunities and open discussion about what administration and us students are and aren't doing well in regards to race. I feel challenged not to sink into complacency, but to every day wake up with the mindset of what can I do better? Who can I listen to better, and when can I speak up more today? On this trip, I thought about how many hand dryers instead of paper towels we have here. In my dorm, lights shut off automatically. We compost our food and have a handful of sustainability clubs. What would it look like if our anti-racism work was just as visible as environmental sustainability on this campus? At the town hall on race, I felt encouraged by the ideas and questions of the night. I wondered why we don't have these formal conversations more often. Mennonites weren't nearly present enough during the civil rights movement, Let's not make that mistake again. I want it to be clear on this campus that Black Lives Matter. I want and dream that us students know that there are people here passionate about making all on this campus feel welcome and loved and empowered. It won't be done overnight, and I'm sure we'll mess up a lot, but this trip has re-inspired me to keep pushing and listening.
When I agreed to go on this trip, I was initially a bit nervous. There weren't a lot of people I knew who were going, and I don't know the South well at all, and I was kind of sad to not spend my final spring break of college with my close friends, although they also went to Georgia on different YServe trips. And with this uncomfortability piece, it's important to admit where race does come into play. I was afraid that my experience as a white Mennonite at EMU, as a very privileged person, would isolate me from my compatriots on the trip. And it wasn't until we were down in Georgia that I realized something. I had never been the only white person in a room before. And this made me think just how frequently my friends of color have to deal with that type of thing. This was one of the most simple and yet most important reminders of the trips. Things I take for granted, things that are usually easy, suddenly carry far more weight and more importance. As a white person, it's one thing to understand day-to-day privilege as a conceptually, and it's an entire different thing to experience the flip side of it and experience it day to day. Thank you, Celeste, Tay, for giving me this chance to learn in this way. And about the trip itself, I was starkly reminded just how recent the history of the civil rights movement is. The civil rights movement has many people who are still alive today, and we were privileged to meet with some of them. My father was born in a segregated Virginia. My parents remember the day MLK was assassinated. This isn't ancient history, and we shouldn't allow it to be cast as such. It's to the benefit of the dominant racist narrative to put segregation and slavery way into the past. The legacy of oppression and oppression itself still exists, and not talking about it won't fix anything. The most dangerous forces are the forces you won't acknowledge exist, and too often I've been guilty of not seeing how the movement must continue. And the movement has continued. It goes on in social movements like Black Lives Matter and the work that goes on this campus, although we can always continue to work. I admire the intersectionality of this movement more than I can quite put into words. We can't address race without addressing systemic oppression, the broken criminal justice system, continuing class conflicts, gender inequality. The list goes on. It's messy, but it's important. The most important things are often the ones that are messy, hard, sticky. And you can really mess up if you're not careful. But they're also the places of the largest opportunity. Dr. Martin Luther King knew this. He was afraid, I'm sure, to step into this liminal space and to push people like me into spaces where they weren't comfortable, weren't sure they wanted to go. He knew it would be dangerous, but it was a danger, a sacrifice that he knew would be worth it. For me, it was a privilege to visit the places where he and the foot soldiers of the civil rights movement walked. And yet, a trip like this exposed so many times continuing inequality, and just framing it as history is incorrect. When the history is told, there are mistakes. When white people who were injured and killed in the movement are highlighted more than their African-American counterparts, when parts of the story are omitted, when we see plaques that say Dr. King died and wasn't assassinated, when communities are over-policed and under-supported, when important parts of the Civil Rights Voting Act have been repealed, there are still things to be working on. I feel a lot better equipped to do some of it, but maybe only the tiniest bit. And yet, I remember what Aaron Dunmore said to me at the town hall on race. Just because you're doing something doesn't mean you're doing enough. Don't get self-congratulatory, Caleb. And it's tempting to. I can pat myself on the back for doing this trip, for being a woke white person, but this is a huge partial fiction. I'm never fully going to understand the experience of my brothers and sisters of color here at EMU or in the U.S. But I need to keep trying, and as soon as I stop, I become part of the problem. So what can I actually do? As Diana Durham said, also at the town hall on race, raise expectations and apply pressure. I'm starting with myself, and I hope to be able to do the same for whatever communities I'm a part of in the future. The single happiest and most picturesque moment of this whole civil rights tour for me was when we walked over the Edmund Pettus Bridge where Bloody Sunday had occurred just over 50 years ago, where marchers were beaten and trampled and attacked by dogs. We didn't face that. We walked over that bridge, taking selfies, smiling, enjoying the warm weather, with no fear. We can do that, we could do that, because of the work of real people like Dr. Martin Luther King. What legacy will we leave for 50 years from today? Thanks.
Like the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I also have a dream. I have a dream that the Holy Spirit will arouse in me and you that very flame of righteousness that caused Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to become a living sacrifice for the freedom and liberation of all of God's children. Then I will be able to resist racial injustice everywhere I see it, including within myself. Thank you for joining us for this commemorative chapel, and please join us this evening at 6:30 on the steps outside of this building for our bell tolling commemoration. Go in peace. Amen.